you've been seeing on the news, and as you have been experiencing in your individual lives, the world is getting worse and worse. Isn't that good news? But the kingdom is getting better and better.
There you go.
And so at the same time that the one is going down, the other is coming up. And the presence of God, the activity of God, is getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And what a day to be alive. Oh, I'm so thrilled to be alive right now. And we're going to be able to see the kingdom activity. We're going to see Jesus Christ in action. We're going to see the Holy Spirit in action like we've never seen before. Hallelujah. The Supreme Court has made their ruling on same-sex marriage. But the Supreme Court isn't supreme.
Yeah.
And they can't do anything about what the consequences will be. Because God is supreme. Hallelujah. And I was talking to God about this before the Supreme Court action. I said, it looks like every time they pass a law, you know, to give them their freedom, then, of course, the Christians end up suffering as a result of it. But it just seemed like it's tumbling now. And God spoke to me and he said, just tell them I have free will. I have free will. I can do what I want to do. Let them do what they want to do, and I'll do what I want to do. Hallelujah! We serve a living God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay, what I want to teach you tonight has been a real burning revelation and a personal experience. I just really have come to know the overcomer. As you see on the top of your page there, the best way to become an overcomer is to be overcome by the overcomer. Now, the worst way to overcome is to try to overcome. Because you can't do it. The forces of evil and the forces of the world are too great for us. But they're not too great for Jesus, because he said, I've already done it. I've already overcome, past tense. So, as you're experiencing things, there are going to be all kind of things. And I'd like for the Supreme Court to try to pass a law that said it can't rain so much around here. Or maybe they could pass a law that it'll rain in California. That'd be good, wouldn't it?
It'd be appreciated.
But God has free will. And they can send all they want out there in California, but they can't do anything about the drought. See? But God is equipping you to be an overcomer. And the way we overcome is by faith. And we're not just talking about, okay, I'm going to have faith. We're talking about God speaking to us about our individual situation and what to do in that situation. And you follow his instructions and you will overcome 100% of the time. Hallelujah. Okay. John 16:33. These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. That's for here now.
Yes.
That you will have peace here and now. It doesn't matter how bad things get. You will have peace. Okay, so we want to find out how to have that peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. I've explained tribulation, but let's do it again so everyone has it. Tribulation is the direct result of God blessing a people, other people getting mad because God is blessing the people that he's blessing. And then as they attack, trying to destroy what God is doing, then God counterattacks. But in the midst of that, he pulls us up out of it. And this whole thing of overcoming is understanding that this tribulation is taking place. We're not to the great tribulation. This is just everyday tribulation. But every time God blesses you, someone's going to get mad. And it gets so ridiculous that we read in prophecy that they're going to actually be screaming at the people who have already died and gone to heaven, screaming, trying to put curses on them. That's pretty ridiculous, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. No. But at least they must believe in heaven to be able to do that. They must have seen something. But so don't get upset because people get upset. Let God bless you and then you follow through, because the blessing of God is the witness. And at the same time, some people are getting mad, others are getting glad. Some people are going to treat you badly, other people are going to be born again. Okay. Now, that is because of this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. See, what churches tried to do was to tone down the gospel. They kept bringing it down. They called it seeker-friendly. And the problem is, if you get the light down low enough to where they're not disturbed by coming to church, there's not enough light for anyone to get saved. If you turn up the light to where the sinners get upset, then there's enough light for people to get saved, especially the sinners. That's the point. Light has come into the world. People love darkness rather than light. But he said, I am the light of the world. He said, you're the light of the world. So remember what the apostles did. They beat him and told him never to speak again in the name of Jesus. And they said, they just shouted. They have a praise meeting. They said that we're counted worthy. They were counted worthy to suffer for Christ. Because as a result of that, yes, they got beat. 3,000 people got saved. 5,000 people got saved. So, like I said, this whole thing is really coming into the open. There isn't going to be this shades anymore. This is going to be light and darkness. It's going to be warfare. And it's going to be fun. I hope you enjoyed as much as I do. Okay? In the world, you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer. Is that what it says? Is that what you... That's God talking. Come on, folks. Cheer up. You're going to have great tribulation. But why can we do that? I can afford to do it because I'm an overcomer. I can be an overcomer because he said, I have overcome the world. He's the overcomer. I'm in him. Okay? So the whole point of overcoming is real simple. You can't overcome something unless you come to something to come over. You have to come to something to come over. So here's an obstacle. Every obstacle becomes opportunity. See? Step up higher. Every time trials and things come up, just step up higher. God's calling you to a higher calling. And remember, he'll never, ever allow you to be tested above the equipment he's put inside of you. See? He's put all the equipment that you need. If you don't have certain equipment, then he'll cancel that trial. He won't have any test. You're not going to face any test because God said, I'm faithful to make sure of this. That I put everything, if you're there and the trial is there, then you have everything you need to overcome. Come on over. Then there's another one. And remember the scripture talks about abounding? See? Not everyone has stairs anymore, but as a kid we used to go bounding down the stairs. Okay? Abounding is taking one step at a time going up the stairs. Of course, we used to love to, as kids, to see how many steps we could skip and run up the stairs. You know, go bounding up the stairs. Yeah. Abounding. So every time you're higher and higher and higher, that's what God wants to do. And he won't take you higher till he gives you the equipment. So I'm going to be giving you equipment tonight. If you don't want the trial, you probably ought to go home. Because once you're here, then you're going to be responsible. Okay. But what I do personally is when I see these tests, first thing I do is get excited. Then I go to the Word to see what God's going to tell me about it. Because if you talk to him, he'll explain the whole situation to you. And he'll explain who you are. He'll explain who he is. And he'll explain who the enemy is. He'll tell you all the details, what to do and what to say. And just follow the instructions. And I know I tell you this over and over and over again, but when God gives you instruction, write it down. Because it'll be so bright, so clear, you'll think, if I live to be 120, I'll never forget it. And 15 minutes later, you're saying, give me a clue, just a little clue to something. You know, because it'll vanish. If it's a revelation from God, it'll be there, and it's up to you to record it. If you have a recorder, pick it up, talk into it, write it down, get something so that you have it recorded. And then keep talking to him about it. See, and as you talk to him, he'll give you all the instructions. Because that's what our life on earth is about. It's about learning to follow God. It's learning about hearing and obeying. Trusting and obeying. And one trial will come, pass that, and there'll be another one. You'll pass that, and then there'll be another one. And as you grow, of course, the trials get harder. Isn't that good news? Aren't you glad you came tonight? The trials will get harder. But that's okay, because you'll never have a trial bigger than the God that is the solution to your trial. You'll never have anything that's greater than God. And he's pulling us up. We hear it's an on high calling, Paul tells us. He's calling us upward. Okay, I have overcome the world. Psalm 110:1, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Hallelujah. Okay, Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus, hanging on the cross, actually saw himself presenting us to the Father with great joy. Can you imagine hanging on the cross I mean, they've got nails in your hands and your feet, and you've been beaten and a crown of thorns on your head. How could you ever suffer more than that? And he said, I see myself. I'm presenting all of these people to my Father. Great joy. Great joy. If you read a lot of the stories of modern day martyrs, the experience of joy that they go through, it almost makes you feel left out. That I wish I could have that kind of joy. But you have to be in their trial to experience their joy. See, the greater the trial, the greater the joy in the midst of the trial. Cheer up, Jesus said. I have overcome the world. I give you peace. I give you peace. Now, does that mean that God's going to get us out of every situation? Absolutely not. Some of you may be beheaded. Some of you may be put in jail. But that's okay. You know, if they cut our head off, then we're martyred. We get a special place under the altar, right? Huh? I kind of like to have that special place. You know? And besides that, I would enjoy witnessing to the person cutting my head off. So there's going to be things happening. They can put you in prison. But God can also open prison doors.
That's right.
Or you may stay in prison. We had a fellow come from Argentina, an evangelist, Argimero Figuero. We called him the Frito Bandito because he'd never eaten Fritos till he came to America. But in Argentina, they would go out, he'd get a flatbed truck and preach from that flatbed truck. They would shoot at him. They'd take machetes and try to cut his feet off. They'd do all kinds of things. And then finally the police would come and arrest him and put him in jail. And he just loved it. Because as soon as they put him in prison, he started witnessing. And he started leading people to Christ. And they couldn't stop him. And so they'd come and throw him out of prison for preaching the gospel. So he'd get thrown in, he'd get thrown out, he'd get thrown in, he'd get thrown out. He didn't care where he was. Now, the same thing happened with a missionary to Nepal. He had an open baptism, which was illegal. And so they came and put him in prison. And he just started witnessing. Well, he led almost all the prisoners to the Lord. And when they got out of prison, they became the witnesses that went all through Nepal preaching the gospel. So we are overcomers. All we have to do is listen to the Lord. And He'll give you those individual instructions. He'll give you the peace. He'll give you the joy. And all you have to do is follow through. So remember what it's all about. See, in the end, there's only one purpose for all of this, and that is to glorify the Father. One of the definitions of glory is weight, W-E-I-G-H-T. Okay? And so the weight, or God is going to weigh in on the situation. Some people say, I just feel the weight of the world on me. Well, you need a counterbalance. There's a bigger weight, and that is the glory of God. God's going to weigh in, and He's going to win. And you're on the winning side. Hallelujah. Okay, so we're not going to have faith in overcoming. We're going to have faith in Jesus, the overcomer. Keep your eye, don't look at the circumstances, look to Jesus, the overcomer. He's going to pull you through. Okay, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The other day I was worshiping God and just really having a good time talking to the Lord, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit began to speak to me. And God said, "Now I want you to come home with me. I want your office to be right here, seated at the right hand of my Father with me. From now on, I'm working from there, and I'm working on the earth. On the earth, but not of the world. In the world, but not of the world. But I'm working from heaven." Of course, you understand that you are too. That's just not one person. That's where we work from. We're in Christ. Isn't that what Ephesians, yeah. Paul said to Ephesians? We are seated at the right hand of the Father in Christ Jesus. If he's there, you're there.
Wow.
So that's where we're working from. That's our new office. So we're going to go down to earth and work for a while. And go back to our office. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay. 1 John 4:4, you are of God, and that's very important. You can't just read portions of this, and you are of God. You are of God. You're in Christ. Christ is in you. We're in the Father. We're one with the Father. Because Jesus prayed for that. That's our position. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, that is the enemy or the world, the Antichrist, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. See, you are of God, little children. Understand this, whatever the problem is, it's not your problem. It's God's problem. And I'm real quick to tell him. I get into situations and I say, not my problem. I'm talking to God about it. Not my problem. You're the one. You're the one that called me. You're the one that put me in this situation. And therefore, it's your problem. And of course, he loves it. He loves it when you talk to him like that. Because that's what it's all about. See, putting our trust in him. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. And of course, Satan's whole thing is to try to distract you. He'll bring everything he can to try to distract you so you won't be looking unto Jesus. So we have to stay, as Paul tells us, stay continuous in prayer. In other words, continually acknowledging, continually drawing from, giving to, drawing from. Keep that attachment going. 1 John 5, verses 4 and 5. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. So that means every one of us that's been born again overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So we place our faith in Jesus Christ. We're looking unto him. This is the victory, our faith, looking to Jesus, looking to Jesus. And what makes this so fun for Jesse and I is that we don't just do this for big things. We do it for every little thing. I need favor. Now, it may just be a small thing. I say, okay, Father, I'm going into this situation. I need favor. And God just turns it. I mean, it could be bad, and God just turns it, and there's favor. Now, oh, neat. You know, and I give him thanks and praise him and look forward to the next thing. But to have the living God acting in your behalf. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Whoever believes, he's the Lord. He's the Son of God. He is our victory. And if you believe that, as you place your faith in him, he'll give you all the instructions that you need to be an overcomer. I don't know whether you know it or not, but God's having a lot of fun with this. God's having a good time with this. Let him have a good time. Hallelujah. Revelation 12, verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. I've been in churches, and the pastor would kind of lead into it, and he'd have what he called popcorn scriptures. In other words, someone, if God has quickened a scripture to you, will you stand up and quote it? He wouldn't let you read it. You had to stand up and quote it. And they came prepared. The church was used to it, so they came prepared. And I mean, they were just, as soon as one sat down, another went up. But they started including their testimony with the scripture. In other words, this is the scripture that I based my faith on, and here's what God did as a result of it. And, you know, you get about 15 or 20 of those, and I'm ready to go to heaven. Now, I'm ready to be raptured. They'd invite me to preach, and I think, it's going to be 12 o'clock, and I'm not even going to get to the pulpit. But I didn't care, because I loved it so much. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Understand the power of the blood. Power of the blood. The word of their testimony. Don't ever underestimate the word of your testimony. And as I've tried to instruct you through the years, it is always in order, 100% of the time, to give witness. In other words, to give your testimony. Doesn't matter where you are, what the circumstance is, it's always in order, 100% of the time, to give your testimony. It's not always in order to evangelize. See, you want to wait until your testimony has started to take effect in the person hearing the testimony before you start evangelizing. The reason why we do that, we don't want to give them an opportunity to say no. See, if you give your testimony, it gets inside. And it may be a week or two or three or four. But then God will say, now go talk to them. Or you may go back two or three times giving your testimony. But God will tell you, now's the time. And then you can evangelize, see. And you'll find out that God, if he tells you to go, that he's already done the work. He's already prepared them. And don't pay any attention to what they acted like the last time you talked to them. They may throw you out of the house. And just keep loving them, okay? But when God says to go back, I've done this so many times, and you go back, and because now I have the word of the Lord, see, I don't even think about, oh my, they're going to be standing there with a shotgun, I'll go in, and they may even have their down face or whatever, and I begin to talk to them, and this all of a sudden, it's like, yes, I'm ready. But if you'd have come yesterday, I'd have thrown you out. I've actually had them tell me that. If you'd have come yesterday, I'd have thrown you out. Hallelujah. And they did not love their lives. Now, this is important. And they did not love their lives unto the death. How can we do that? The only way we can do it, Paul said, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Christ Jesus our Lord. He said, take up your cross daily. Jesus said, take up your cross. In other words, die daily. And if we're dead people, who can hurt a dead person? You can kick them in the ribs, punch them in the face, do whatever you want. You can't hurt a dead person. And so they overcame. Because no matter how they were treated, they continued to love. Our job is to keep on loving. It doesn't matter what. It doesn't matter how people treat us. And now here's the encouraging part. I don't mind people screaming at me, calling me names. At least it gets their soul open. And while they're doing all that, I can get love in. I can put love in while they're... What better time to show love than when you're being mistreated? Right? So he's making us to be overcomers. Romans 12:21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Every evil deed done against us becomes an opportunity to be a witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we overcome evil with good. And if you want to write it in your notes, I can afford to, for instance, I can afford to love. Why? Because I am loved. God has loved me with this tremendous love. So I can afford to love. I can afford to forgive. How can I afford to forgive? Because I'm forgiven. I can afford to give. I can afford to be generous. Why? Because God's generous with me. See? So I can afford, in the midst of evil, to do good. I can afford that. Jesus afforded it, hanging on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What an example. Now, overcome evil with good. I can afford. Why can I afford? Because Jesus could afford it. If Jesus can afford it, I can afford it. I can afford to love in every unlovely situation. Do not be overcome by evil. Overcome evil with good. Romans 8:37. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Okay? Understand that more than conqueror means that we don't just conquer. We don't just match this thing up. Being an overcomer means that we're going to be more than conquerors. There's going to be more take place than winning the argument or winning the battle. Understand? See, there's going to be glory. There's going to be witness. There's going to be all kinds of things because we're more than conquerors. If we just winners, you can win by an inch. But we're more than conquerors. So always be looking for God to do much more than just get you out of the situation or to settle the circumstance. See, God's looking for a whole lot more than that. Go into it with great joy, with great expectation. And have it written down on your paper, or have it written in your heart, I can afford to do this. I can afford to do this. Revelation 2:26. And what we're going to do here is we're going to run through these statements. These are at the end of each church that is listed in the book of Revelation. Now, most people won't even read the book of Revelation. No one seems to want to study the book of Revelation. But revelation is a revelation of a person. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ and his victory over Satan, over death, over hell, over the grave, over sin, over everything. Okay? So it's a wonderful, wonderful book. You know, people say, well, that just gives me the heebie-jeebies to read it. No, it's a wonderful book. That in the letters to the churches, Jesus told John, now you write a letter to this church and you write a letter to this church. And for most of them, except for one, he mentions some pretty bad things. Well, you have a Jezebel in your church. You know, you have old Nicolaitans in your church. You know, and you read all of that, and I don't know, maybe it's just me, but growing up, people would read those things, and then they'd try to find out if it's in their church. Oh, that sounds just like my church. You know. And they'd try to figure out, well, who are the Nicolaitans? You know. Who is this Jezebel and all of that? Well, let me tell you, it's a good news book. The book of Revelation is full of good news. And the good news to each of the churches is, I believe in you, and you can overcome. It's not the list that Jesus was interested in. It was making people overcomers over the list. This is what you're going to be overcoming. This is what you're going to be overcoming. He's grinning from ear to ear because he's the overcomer. And he said, I'm going to make you overcomers. Here's what's going to be yours as I make you to be an overcomer. So that's what we're reading. Okay, Revelation 2:26. And he who overcomes and keeps my words unto the end, to him I will give the power over the nations. I wonder which one of you is going to be over the Supreme Court. Hey, I'm in charge here. We're going to change all these rulings. You're going to be over the nations. Revelation 2:7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Think about that now for a minute. When Adam sinned, he ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, was put out of the garden. And Father, Son, and Holy Spirit discussing this said we have to put them out of the garden lest they eat of the tree of life and live forever. Where is that tree now? In the midst of the paradise of God. It's still there. And what's it say? The leaves of the tree will be for the healing of the nations. It's hard for us to grasp where this is all going. Because people have taught for so long, just hang on to the end and you'll get a golden harp and a rocking chair. And you're going to play your golden harp and rock in your chair forever and ever and ever and ever. God said, no, I'm making you to be something that you're going to be forever. And there's going to be activity forever and ever and ever and ever. And what you become now will determine what you will be then. We've gone through this. There's three things listed in 1 Corinthians 13, the left chapter, and it says there's faith, hope, and love. And these are three eternal things. They don't end when this life is over or when this earth is over. They are forever. And so forever and ever and ever and ever, we will be loving. We'll be loving God, we'll be loving each other. We'll be sacrificing for the benefit of everyone around us within our realm of influence. We'll be loving and we'll be sacrificing. That's what love is, self-sacrificial giving. Giving ourselves to God in love, giving ourselves to each other in love. Okay, faith is forever. God created the heavens and the earth by faith, Scripture tells us. And so faith is going to be forever. In other words, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So God will always be talking. His words inside of us will produce faith to do what God's doing forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. So you'll be living by faith forever. And there's hope forever and ever and ever. So hope is a joyful, confident expectation. In other words, there's no time in heaven, but forever and ever and ever there will be an excitement, an expectation of what God is doing next. See? There's no time, no space, but God is preparing us for eternity of activity with Him. Whatever He's doing. You say, well, what will we be doing? Same thing we're doing now. I don't know what I'm doing now, except when God tells me what to do. I do whatever He tells me to do. And He gives me assignments, and moment by moment, I get assignments. So I don't predetermine my days. I don't predetermine. I have schedules. I come here once a month. But I don't predetermine how each meeting will turn out. I have no idea. But there's always that expectation, that joyful, confident expectation. So it's all about overcoming. Revelation 2:11. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Jesus said, now, don't worry about those that can take your body, you know, that can kill you. Don't worry about that. But I'm going to make you an overcomer over the second death. And we don't have to worry about that. We're overcomers. Revelation 2:17. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. And I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. Jesus is really inviting you to something here. And we miss it because so often in ritual, we miss things. We take communion, for instance. And I love communion. And we go through that. But how many times have you ever heard someone doing communion quote Jesus, who said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you don't have any part with me. He said, I'm the manna that came down from heaven. Wasn't Moses that gave you the manna? I'm the manna. He said, I'm going to give you me to eat. I'm going to give you me to eat. You eat of me. That's an invitation for right now. Keep eating Jesus. Keep eating Jesus. You don't have to wait for communion to eat Jesus. I eat Jesus every day. Hidden manna. Drink His blood. Hallelujah. But also, think of that when you are taking communion. In fact, there's a lot of people who are taking communion every day now in their homes rather than, you know, waiting for whatever time comes up in church. And some people do it as couples, and some people do it all by themselves. You don't have to have somebody around to take communion. But you need to eat Jesus. So he's inviting you to something here. I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name. Now what you're going to find out in this process of overcoming, you're going to learn who you are. You're going to learn one day you may get an extra element of who God is. And the next day, you'll get an element of who you are. Sometimes it all comes at once for me. I see who he is and who I am, kind of all at the same time. But understand, that is two different things, actually. You need to know who you are. Once you know who you are, you're an overcomer. If you know who you are in Jesus Christ, and you know who he is, you're an overcomer. There's absolutely nothing that can come at you that you can't overcome. Okay, Revelation 3:5. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before the Father and before his angels. I like for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to be bringing my name up often. It's neat. Say you're in a big corporation and you don't get to attend a meeting, that you find out that people were talking about you in the meeting in a very good sense, complimenting you and so forth. I like to think of the Father and the Son having a discussion about me. They're talking about it. They're making intercession. Now, I see, we've got several things to do. We've got to rescue Wayne. We've got to win the lost. And, you know, we've got to bring glory. We've got to produce glory. Because in the end, it says the glory of the Lord is going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. There's a lot got to be done. And so the business meeting is going on between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Of course, we know they've already got it all figured out. But just the thought of, they're bringing my name up in heaven, talking about me, talking about you, bringing your name up. Now, don't you feel more like an overcomer? I do. Okay. He who overcomes, Revelation 3:12, he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. And I will write on him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. Whatever you ask the Father in my name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. Revelation 3:21, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame, past tense, as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. God is going to raise up overcomers by filling you with himself. He's not asking you to overcome. He's asking you to be filled with himself. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will. It'll be done. Revelation 21:7. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Don't get any better than that. So I just encourage you to, first of all, enjoy the journey. Remain cheerful. When you get tense, when you allow distractions to disturb you, that's just the enemy trying to get you to take your eyes off of Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus and you'll keep on winning. Okay, you're going to be victorious. And if I told you, if I just started in and went around the room and I prophesied to you what you're going to have to face, you'd say, no thanks. I don't think I could endure that. Jesse and I were rehearsing the other day what all we've been through. And looking back at it, both of us said, no man can do that and survive. You can't do it. And we did it. And we're here. And there's more. So don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about what's going to come up. Because the anointing will be on the moment. The anointing won't be on your tomorrows. Your anointing will be on the today. Your anointing, the scripture, God will give you the scripture that you need. He'll speak to you. He'll tell you everything you need to know of how He's going to win in your situation and get the glory and win the lost all at the same time. Amen?